Hello and welcome to season 2, episode 14 of the D Hoop University podcast. This is your host, Daryl Harris, also known as D Hoopster. And today, I needed this. I will say that this is a return to form, if you will, a continuation of the vibe that we introduced last summer, where it's not primetime season for anybody. WNBA is on hiatus. SummerSlam is this weekend. But we're not in the throes of sports right now, and it was time to check in with one of my dogs, man. He was on the initial list of people I wanted to talk to on this pod, and today we made it happen. He is the man behind the sounds that you are about to hear right now, and one of my dogs, man. One of my dogs. Shout out to Sami Zayn. Shout out to Big Jace. Let's get into this new music. Let's talk some Olympic hoops on the back end. Missed y'all. We'll be back a little bit more. We're about to pick it up a little bit. A lot has happened. We got some new digs, some new keys. But, you know, shout out to Babe as well. Mwah. Without further ado, let's chop it up with my boy Jace. Long overdue. It's definitely about that time. So welcome, my boy. If you listen to this pod, period, if you have pressed play on this podcast, except for the first couple episodes, and if you are listening, then I appreciate you. But if you listen to this podcast, period, you can go ahead and thank this man for the fire beat that you're hearing under us as we speak right now. Big Jace himself.
Yes, sir. Man,
what's up, bro?
Yes, sir. Man, what's the deal, man? Nothing much. I'm just happy to be here for real, bro. It's been a long time coming. I ain't gonna lie. We've been trying to get this going a few times, but we finally here, man. We finally here.
Yeah, man. J to the Izzo, my dog, man.
Yes, sir.
We go way back. What's funny, bro? I was thinking about this after we like confirmed we was gonna do it. This one, I was like, I gotta text him because I'm like conversations we have. Going back to like literally when we first met. Now I'm not, you know the story. I'm not I'm not gassing the story either. Freshman year of high school. It's before the school year started. I was pulling up to a basketball practice. We shooting outside. Jerron was there. Shout out to Ron.
Yes,
man.
Sir. Shout out Ron, man.
I don't know anybody. I know Jeremy. I'm expecting to know Jeremy and Gregory. Shout out to the twins. They alumni.
Right. Twin.
Pull up, all right, let me get a couple shots. I make like what, three or four? Like I make a couple in a row, and it's awkward because it's like, man, I do not know these fools, but at least I look good right now. First impression.
Right. Yeah.
Nah, man. And that was just the beginning, bro. That was just the beginning, man. Them days, man. Bro, you did up, man. You put me on the sneakers in a real, real way, bro. Going back to I gotta tell you that.
Bro, and I don't know if you remember, like, taking them trips to the Cerritos Mall, bro. We looking at Foot Locker, you know, trying to grab the newest KDs or whatever it was at the, you know, whatever the hot shoe was, the Hyperfuses, I think, was, you know, in at the time. And, man, like, you know, what people don't know, bro, like, we kind of clicked off the rip. Like, I remember, bro, first week of school, me and you was locked in. Like, everybody, wherever they seen you, it was like almost they seen me almost. So it's like,
we
was really tied in. So
because that was not my neck of the woods, and you was hella familiar. Right. So I was just like, hey, you were plugging me with a lot of the info, the background details. Yeah, so and so. Yeah, I know this school. I went to elementary school with them. Man, some good old days, bro.
Right, yeah. Nah, we just clicked off the rip, bro. And those is like I tell people all the time. Those are some of the most fun days I had. You know, looking back to them days of just that whole team experience and then being at guard, bro. Like it's some real legends that done came out of that school. Like, you know, so it's just dope to see where everybody is at right now.
Yeah, man. Mad pizzas ordered there. Shout out to 11111 Artesia Boulevard.
For real. Sonoras, you know,
Man,
the whole
mad
nine.
quesadillas,
The
mad trips to the mall.
carne
Oh, that's facts,
asada
bro. And it just goes to show, man, we used to tear them up as a team. Why did
nachos.
we
Man. As a
used to do
team, bro.
that?
Bro, we go, I think the nachos was about 650. We used to be splitting it up. Like, yo, I got two. I got two. I got a quarter right here. But nah,
Big
like,
Ben used
and
to go
that's
crazy.
and that's how you build that camaraderie, bro. Like, you know,
Yeah.
for I feel like we'll always forever be locked in just because of, you know, everything we went through as especially in that pivotal moment of our lives. Like, you know, that high school period is like really make or break. I feel like that's almost shapes you into who you are as an adult. So you feel me? Just to like, man, we really came a long way, bro. Like,
Yeah,
six of us splitting up one nacho order, like, so you know, that's crazy,
Nah,
but
that's nuts, man. Hey, it was funny, bro. I've been what's also funny, dog. I referee out here, and I've been busy the last couple of weeks. For real, for real. I think I seen your brother name on the list like a week. Like
nah,
I was
that's
looking at the
what.
roster. I was
Nah, he
going
for
through. I
sure
said,
out
"Hold
there.
on, I for sure know this name."
Yeah, that's him. He out there right now still. So yeah, nah, man, we everywhere with it, bro. That's how small the world is.
Literally, and it's a gang of refs on this roster, but I just happened to be scrolling through. I'm like, oh, I know this last name. I don't know many people. Oh, I definitely know this first name. This is definitely
Yeah,
the bro.
yeah.
It was funny
That's
is that
him.
I'm at these gyms, reffing these games like the last couple of weekends. You know, the summer tournaments, literally full circle. We
Right,
be
right.
mad trips out here for these Vegas summer ball, and
Right.
now I'm refereeing the games, joking with these little dudes. You know, seeing
Yeah.
fools trying to dunk and all this and
Yeah.
that. But what's funny is I'm watching, man, it was this one, it was this young team, Vegas Elite. They was like 10 or 11.
Yeah.
Super, super, super cold. They beat this one team 88-6. I reffed it. It was literally mercy rule. But it's just
Yeah.
funny watching these boys with these kicks on. One of them had like the
Yeah.
Weatherman KD4s on with like a navy jersey, but with like he had some little swag to make it match.
Yeah.
And I'm like, bro, after the game, I'm like, what you know about those, bro? What are
Right.
you are 11 years
Right.
old.
You
You
don't even
weren't
know what you got
born.
on your feet right now, boy. Like, you don't even know what you got on your feet. Like, and the craziest part, my bad to, you know, keep going,
Nah,
but
bro.
man, like those Weathermans when they first dropped, like those were like $900 shoes. Like, that's how much they were in demand back then. I want to say it was probably even more than that, but like you go in the mall now, you might see them sitting on the shelf still. And it's like, wow, man. Like, I think them Galaxy Phone Pods, this is about to come back out. And I remember the heartache trying to get those, you know. That
Man,
was, I think that was freshman year. So definitely, like, it's.
I remember you scooped the All-Star Kobes that year, that glow in the dark.
Yeah.
We was in Miss Rodick's class one day, and they cut the lights off. You like, hey, yo, look, these joints glow in
Kobe.
the
Right.
dark.
You know, and
Crazy,
that's
yeah,
just
no,
always been me,
stupid
bro.
hype,
Yeah.
stupid hype.
Yeah.
Nah, we could really go all day like this, bro. This is definitely what feels good, man. Let's get some shout outs
Yeah.
in there. We are going to chop it up a bit, man, because for one, you just put out a fire tape. We're going to get all the way into that. Just kind of let
Thank
you,
you. Thank you.
and by all means, I just want to let you cook a little bit, man. Let you go down a little rabbit hole about who you are as an artist, man, what goes into it, because I got for off the top, like I said, we're going to get to it a little later, but I want to say this now, like, bro, I commend you for it. It's not a
Man, thank you.
simple craft to jump in industry field, whatever you want to call it, man. Like,
Right.
it requires commitment, requires a lot of vulnerability,
Right.
creativity. It's especially when there's no rules to it, you can go about it
Right.
however you want to go about it. And
And that's the most, like, that what you said right there, that's what I want people to like really focus on. Like, when making a song, like, it's so many directions you can go in. I feel like the direction is almost infinite. So it's like for you to be able to come up with the whole concept and see it all the way through from start to end, knowing that it's, you know, millions of different variations of this song that you could do, it's like, I feel like that's the most difficult part. And what people don't realize is like, yeah, the song, even though everybody has their own opinion, so it's like your preference might not be one of you liking the song, but regardless of that, you should respect the fact that they were able to create that. You know what I mean? Because like I said, the possibilities and the directions you can go in music is infinite, bro. Like
that's when it becomes art.
Right. Exactly. But shoot, let me go ahead and get into these shout outs, man. First and foremost, I want to shout out God. None of it possible without God. But secondly, I want to get a shout out my family, man. My family has been my support system, especially moms and, you know, my girl. Shout out Michaela.
Hey now.
You feel me? So just wanted to shout out to the family, my dad, my brothers, you know, all my loved ones, Ron, Wax, everybody, my dad, I don't know if I said pops already, but, and then I want to shout out to the, you know, my guys too, shout out Stay Working, shout out Keem, shout out B-Side Gallery, shout out my boy,
shout out,
Darren Didi, you feel me, Daze, all my loved ones, and, you know, everybody my that's boy, doing anything. Yeah, that, you feel me?
These boys got kids out here, man. Shout
man,
out.
You know, and that's I love to see that, bro. As boy, we stay get older working. And see it. Man, so yeah, start off, Stay Working. Shout out B-Side Gallery and Maple House too. But yeah, other than that, that's all I got for the shout outs, man. Shout out to Giants Records too. Just the Stay Working Giants Records collab. You know, we got more merch on the way. So we just doing it out here, man. We really trying to grind and get to it for sure.
Oh yeah, man. Happy to hear that, bro. Shout out to all of them for sure. Shout out to all of the teammates, all of the guys. They didn't got shout outs on here before. Man. This is the summer. What did I like to call this? These are summer sessions, man. Summer check-ins, you know?
Yeah.
It's the D-Hoop University Summer World Tour Club. You know, we kind of get off topic when it's not primary season. It's not football season, basketball season.
Right.
Playoffs going on right now. We will talk some Olympics, but I did this last summer. You know, I got Mylan on here, told his story, man, about, you know, jumping into the artist game. Had the twins on here, talked about them being college athletes and just kind of like had my mans on here talking sneakers. So this, bro, I done told you, man, that you were one of the first people I wanted to have on here from the jump as well. And
right.
It was only a matter of time. Only a matter of time.
Yes,
shout out to everybody that's been on here before. That's fam that's tapping in because they saw a familiar face on the featured list. I got a big Jace feature before a lot of people.
Hey, that's a fact. That's a fact. That is a fact.
Nah, we about manifestation over here, man. Myla said on here that he's gonna meet Tyler the Creator, and when he does, he's gonna look back on here and shout it out. And
yeah,
hey, I believe dope. It. I'm gonna just wait till it happens so I can get my clip in.
right, for sure. For sure.
And you know what, bro? I wanted to start off with the game, but we know what Team USA did, and we can talk some other basketball in the back end, bro. Let's jump right into it, man, because that's what really got me motivated to hit you up. You text me the other night.
Yeah.
Nothing, just a link. I'm like, what bro sent me? I don't think I saw it to the next day or something. And I'm like, we got a tape.
Yeah.
And what's funny about that is, bro, this year, it's funny, man, just as we get older, it takes a couple years for you to like realize certain things about yourself that's really different. And my music intake has been skinny, bro. Super skinny. Like, especially this year. This year for sure. Last year, I put myself on to maybe like one new artist a year. But other than that, I'm playing the classics. I'm playing the faves, man. Like, I done played this Kendrick and Drake little cycle so many times on my phone. Like, literally the most played songs are the songs I play for my son in the morning. Come the end of the year. And I heard this, man, this and that Anderson .Paak. Thank the Lord that I got both of these in the rotation now, because these were immediate whole album at the joint, man. And I've been listening to you, bro, since literally day one.
Appreciate
so I can hear the evolution. I can hear the evolution on like a super deep level, bro. But let me let you describe Big Jace World, man. Is this an album? Is this a tape? You know.
So Big Jace World, man, it's an album, bro. I feel like my supporters and people that have been with me since the beginning, they're able to kind of like tell when it's like, okay, this is just a project he putting out. But they can separate the two between a project and an album, because I just feel like it feels a little bit more different. I don't want to say I put more thought or care into the albums, but I guess I'm just moving with a little more intent. Many people may know this or may not know this. Like, I'm a huge Kendrick guy. Like, I've been a Kendrick fan from like day one. Like, I don't,
put me
I don't
on,
know
bro. You put me on, no cap. For sure.
And you know, so like even back then in high school, like this is probably my junior or senior year, like people were running up to me like, "Oh, is this Kendrick?" Like, I don't know if you remember that, but it was like that happened a few times. So it's just like I just always felt connected to him, and the way he goes about making albums, like it kind of like shifted the way that I view making albums. Like, he really takes time, and every album is going to be like sonically different, but it's going to be, you know, it's going to be some messaging in it. And really, bro, I've been working on this album for 4 years, but like the funniest part about it, the majority of the album was probably like the majority of the songs probably done in like the last 2-3 months. And it's like, sometimes, you know, it's just funny like that. Like, man, you've been working on a project or whatever, doing all these different songs, and you think you got it done, and it's just like, nah, that wasn't all the way it. So in this process, bro, I probably scrapped maybe like 5 or 6 different albums. There were several times I'm geared up, ready to go. Everything been mixed and mastered and spent thousands on projects, and you know, get up to the point and just like, yeah, it's just like, I feel like the artistic side of me is just like, nah, like, it's not it. And so it's just, with doing music, I've learned to not be married to anything, because you never know when it's gonna, you know, change or evolve. You might play the same song 100 times, and then on that 101 time, you hear something like, oh, I can add this now. So, I mean, that was really the process, bro. Just, you know, just living life, man. I feel like over this time period, I've really grown a lot. Like, I've just gotten older and just opened my eyes more to things. And I think you can hear that on the album. That's what I really wanted to illustrate as far as the world. Just bringing the listener in to, like, you know, what I've been dealing with the past 4 years or so. Like, I had a few name changes and all that. So I felt like it was best for me to just answer everything on the album. So, you know, Big Jace World came about. I probably, like I said, the majority of the album was probably done within the last like 3 months. To make reference to what you said earlier, that Kendrick and Drake battle really did like inspire me, bro. Like,
I couldn't believe that it wouldn't.
Yeah, you know, so it's like, and on both sides, you know, just the fact that we see two high caliber artists, you know, moving that fast and working that quick. And, you know, after that whole ordeal, bro, I think I really just locked in on the album. And then, you know, there was an LA show, the Pop Out.
Yes, sir. And, Juneteenth.
Yeah. So I was watching that, and it's just like, it was a feeling that came over me. I was just happy, you know, proud to be from the West. But it was also a feeling of like, damn, like, I want to be on that stage, you feel me? And, you know, I've been almost making music for, you know, 10 years. Mm-hmm. It'll be 10 years next year, bro. So
speak on it, bro.
You feel me? So, like, I've said at that moment, like, after that show, I was like, bro, it'll never be an event that go down like that, and I'm not a part of it. So, like, I think that just kicked me into, like, a different gear, or, you know, it was just a motivation for me to just really lock in and hone in. And, you know, I probably, like I said, the last few songs, probably the last 5 or 6 songs came post that Pop Out. I want to say probably maybe 3 or 4 of the songs might have been done before that. Yeah. But, you know, just locking into that energy, bro, and really just following it and seeing it all the way through. And it's a lot of themes on the album, man. Like, I really want to encourage people to go listen, because off the first listen, you know, it's going to be, it's a dope album, so you're going to be like, oh, that was dope. But it's a lot of, like, it's loaded with stuff in there. Like, I really tried to put my best creative foot forward on this and really challenge the listener to really create an ultimate experience. I wanted to feel like the listener is actually coming into my world almost. Like, you know, as I say this, as it looks like I'm, you know, floating in outer space right now. But you know, Big Jake's World.
Yes, sir.
Even just down to the name Big Jake's World. I just wanted to like really make a statement. You know, like I said earlier, I changed my name from J.O. Cortez to Jason to Big Jace. And a lot of people, you know, might have felt a certain way about it or, you know, looked at it a certain way, but it was something that I was like, you know, I felt it was right. And, you know, even down to the cover, I put the butterfly on there because it's like, I feel like the butterfly is the perfect representation for evolution. And I feel like that was the main point. Like I wanted to show on the album is just like, you know, butterfly starts off as a caterpillar. The caterpillar might go through this grueling journey to get to the cocoon. But once you get to the cocoon, you know, everything that led up to that point is worth it because you know what's coming out of that cocoon, you know, the butterfly. So, you know, that's, you know, there's a song on there called Butterfly Pimpin', which I really think is probably the center point. Yeah, you feel me? It's the symbolism and, you know, just leveling up, bro, and just ultimately becoming, finding your confidence and just working and relying on your faith. So, you know, that's Big Jace World. I know I've been ranting, my fault, bro, but I just get excited.
And I got more questions like than anything, man, because
yeah,
there's layers to this, bro. And I gave it a hearty listen, like, bro, it's just different. Yeah. One of your last albums.
Right, bro, right.
That's one of my joints, dog. The 22-6.
Thank you.
Bro, thank you. That like you got tapes that I really reflect, like, you know, when they come on the shuffle, like it's like my shuffle don't miss a beat. Like I'm not touching
right,
that.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? So this really came through because, all right, so it starts, right? I'm going to just give you some takeaways.
Right.
Or I'll start. I got like four I'll write down. I'm going to start. I'm going to start with my favorite song. And I want to say that this has to be in your top two or three on the album. It absolutely has to be.
Okay.
And I'm talking about what I feel like is the outro because, like, you kind of put a real solid, like, what's this? That's like, you know, the faith. It's kind of like a pro, like the epilogue. It's just kind of, it's like credits.
Right, right.
Almost. That's almost credits.
Right. Right.
Some spiritual, you know, motivation as well. Like, you know, sticks with it over some beats. Also, side note, how much of this did you produce on the beat and production side?
Man, it's all me on the production, bro.
Don't even say it. Top to bottom. I was going to assume, but I was going to be like, I know you going to say, like, bro, I did it all, like humbly and like no cap, I did it all. But I say that for I wanted to specify because, bro, I saw you put the time in on just like man, it might have been a whole year of like bro, I'm beat man, ain't nobody
right.
I'm about to figure out these beats from scratch. You know what I'm saying? All right, so
that just come from just necessity, bro. Like when I first started rapping, it was hard to get beats. You know, it's like, okay, if you wanted to beat, you almost had to have some type of industry connect. Like, I mean, it's a lot of people rapping now, but 10 years ago, it's not like, I mean, you can't even compare. I would say it's more rapping now than 10 years ago. That's what I'll say. I first started rapping.
And in that quick years, a lot of change. 10 years ago, you could have ripped the beat off of YouTube and like had a smooth little joint just trying to buzz. Like,
right. So, but like back then it was hard. Like you literally had to know somebody that was producing or whatever the case may be. So I'm trying to find my way through this world.
Just had disposable, had disposable bread to be like, look, I'm buying beats, but go ahead.
Right. You know, I'm 17, 18. So it's like, I'm rapping off instrumentals, but it's like, okay, how long can you do that? They want to hear some original music. So, man, I want to say, I think this probably was like around the time I was first starting like college. So I think I took like that little graduation money I got from graduating and went and bought studio equipment, bro. And just was like, I'm gonna learn. And literally just self-taught myself to, you know, make all these beats and stuff. And like, here we are 10 years later, like, you know, so, I mean, it's just the proof that the work pays off.
So that's nuts. Just so you know, and everybody listening knows that. Bro, really, all right. shout out to that paper, man, that diploma, man. I see you, bro. I'm proud of you, dog. Way to go, my dog.
For real.
Got it, and it's an investment. It's an investment in yourself, 100%. And you double down on the investment. Same with this equipment. Now that I'm moved and resettled, y'all about to see this background transform some more.
Right.
Leveling up this microphone, everything.
Elevation.
So, that's crazy still. Off the top, welcome. My first listen on albums that I'm really like looking forward to listening and playing, I like to press play, maybe peek at the songs when the songs change at most, but I like to try and like go spoil free. Like, I don't want to know how long the song is. If I see the feature, then I see the feature. But if I can avoid, you know, who's on the track for my first like interested listen, all right, cool. Side note again, no features.
No features, bro.
Zero.
No features.
I went to the credits on Spotify. It's just my guy.
Just me, man. I mean, I've been away for 4 years, so it's like I didn't want to go too crazy with the features. I think people wanted to hear from me. Like, it was a lot I had to say, so I just felt like, you know, everybody just clear out. Let me ISO this one real quick.
And that's, man, this is really a project that you had to satisfy yourself first and before putting it out. And when that's the case, you can't.
Right.
It can't be a disappointment because it's like, nah, man, I already. So Welcome comes on, bro, and I hear these vocals, and I already know.
Yeah.
A fool like you, man. You've been with the harmonizing,
right?
Been with the I got different pitches. If you want me to show you the pitches,
you but feel
I'm low key about it. But dog, you put some melodies together, bro, and it's like layered.
Yeah. All,
it becomes sort of the beat, and that's a sound that is like fleshed out on here that I never heard from you before, bro. And I want to say these are synths. My musician bag is tapping out right about at what's a synth and all of that. But I want to say it's a lot of those on here that do make it really, really spatial, really sort of like the audio, the vocal audio isn't the main like dominant element in the songs. It's kind of what I'm hearing.
Right. And I mean, that's with intent for sure. Like when I went into producing these songs, I wanted to make it feel like, man, it's a world. So I wanted to give it some type of like spatial ambiance to make it almost feel like you shifting, like going through a galaxy almost. Like, I feel like it's NASA music, you know what I mean? But that was intentional, bro. Like
listening to me. You taking this in. Go ahead. Yeah.
Right. It's just an experience. Like, I wanted, when I make albums, bro, I want the listener to like be like amazed, like blown away. Like, man, I felt like whenever I put on a Big Jace album, I know it's going to take me somewhere. I don't know where it's going to take me, but I know it's going to be some type of essence or ambiance or a feel that the project gives me to make, like, really almost put the person, like, they're submerging into the album almost. So, you know, I really want you to feel like you almost a part of the world, or like you strapping into a roller coaster or something. So,
what gave you the confidence to go ahead and singing into the microphone? Like,
that first
one sort of got like a Drake intro background behind it, like
And again, bro, like I said, I don't want people to say like think that I'm not a Drake guy because I rock with Kendrick so much. Like, bro, I love Drake just like everybody else love Drake. You feel me? So like, I would definitely say Drake is an influence on my career for sure. Like, especially the way he came through with the melodies, and it's like that was something I always wanted to do. A lot of people don't know this. I used to sing in the church choir, like
there we
quiet
go.
As kept.
There it is.
You
there
feel
it
me?
Is.
Quiet as kept. You know,
yeah,
I had a few harmonic solos here and there, but you know, I just really was like, man, I want to take the artistic. I want to show people that I'm not just a rapper. It's like, man, I really am artistic, like artistic when it comes to the music, as far as like being wanted to like challenge it and push the envelope. You know, I don't want to just, all right, I'm going to come in here and spit 2 16s and then that's it. Like, you know, I want to keep, you know, challenging myself to do new things and expanding my sound and my range. I mean, I feel like ultimately that's how you survive in the game.
Yeah. You know what? I just realized that in all of that, I think I got sidetracked from saying what my favorite song was. I'm gonna keep pushing it back, because another part with the vocals sort of like mixed in everything. Some of the crispest, you know, vocal elements are the ad libs.
Right.
Bro, what's the new one you really rocking with on here? It gives me a Cardi or like a Yachty vibe to it, just to the ad lib part.
Okay. So I mean, I got a few of them that I've been like kind of like working in to, like, you feel me, see which ones really stick the most. But you know, you gotta come on, you gotta come on, you know, you got that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, there
right
we go.
You got know what I'm talking about.
No, it's something that. About, yeah, no, it's that
and,
one.
You know, depending on, you know, the song, let's say if I'm singing more or something, I might hit you with the, you know, some, you know, little vocals, but you know, the ad-libs are definitely a part of the, I feel like it just gives the song more energy. It makes it fun, because a lot of the times, like, I listen to songs and I like the song, but I might be attached more to the ad-libs, you know? So, yeah, I think the ad-libs play a major part, especially with artists like Cardi. And, you know, I feel like Migos was really one of the first ones that I knew about that was going crazy with the ad-libs. Like,
facts.
You know, yeah, Steve so, Keith. Yeah, you feel me? That whole wave, I think that's like early 2011.
Even Soulja. Soulja was in there on the ad-libs too.
Yeah, for sure. You know, so the ad-libs is definitely like, that's almost, I mean, it's not as important as the verse or hook, but it's up there now. Like, you know, a good ad-lib could take a song a long way.
Nah, it's like a boxer putting them combinations together. It's like, oh, that's really a three piece. Like,
right.
Like,
yeah.
It make it connect.
Man.
So like I was saying, I put myself on to like somebody every couple, like every so on. And I forgot how I even, what was the first song to do it? It was definitely that Sincerely Face tape. But bro, yeah. Babyface Ray became for sure my favorite rapper of like the last 2 years. Sure.
Same, bro.
And I picked up on that for just, you know, we mutuals, you know, what we posting, what we vibe into.
Right.
And I don't even, they say comparisons to deeper joy, so this isn't really that. But like you said, you mentioned Drake, you mentioned Kendrick, of course.
Yeah.
And that just kind of even being the inspo for some of the passion. Right. I definitely, what I like so like a lot about Face is it feels lackadaisical, it feels labor, it feels like effortless. But when you are listening to it, it's not a style that you can just replicate. Like it is a very unique. It's like freestyle bars where they got to end time in pockets. But I feel like you pulled that off in your own way right here as well. And some of the Yachty, the way he's witty, bro, that's also what I always get from your stuff too, man. It's always something that's going to make me laugh, whether it was money doing flips like the Hardys or something like the Hardy.
Oh, yeah, you feel me? And it's like, that's how we can get into the culture references too. It's like, bro, we know a lot about a lot of different things. So it's like, man, you might catch some wrestling bars. You might catch some, you know, I watch Invincible. You might catch some Omni-Man bars. Like, you never know. Like, so, yeah, man, I just try to, you know, stay creative for real. And like, I could say that Face, the reason that I think his style is so easy to identify with, number one is because it just sounds like he's talking to you. It sounds like he's just having a conversation.
For
like,
sure.
Like, bro, go get your money up. Like, you feel me? That's how I feel like when I hear Babyface Ray. And,
on everything.
You know, when he first came out, like at the time, like, bro, I was really grinding hard. So like, I was just in that zone. I was really relating to everything he was saying. And it just like, he makes good, like, motivational music. And, you know, I feel like I'm in that same lane, but just it's a different style. Like, I try to, you know, motivate and uplift and try to encourage people to just get to it, you know. You can do it, everything. You can do anything that you want to do as long as you really put the work in, keep the faith, and, you know, just have
a strong believe in
mindset.
Yourself.
Right. Believe in yourself and just
put
stay
the
disciplined.
Work in. Yeah.
Right.
So, bro, Alive is nuts, bro.
Thank you, bro. Thank you.
Bro, Alive is finna take off, bro. It's absolutely no reason why it shouldn't.
Oh yeah.
I played it. Yeah. I got like maybe 45 seconds in or something, and something was going on. I had to pause it, and then I came back, and then because I played like the first half in the car, because since you sent it to me a couple days ago, I was like, all right, I'm gonna get this a good listen when at the right time, and then I finished like the second half in the house, and this one come on. I know I'm like getting towards the end of the tape, but like I told you, I'm not really trying to listen. I'm just letting it play, and or look at it, and I'm like, hold on, hold on, hold on, bro. It's something about this one where he is really going crazy. And I don't even know because I'm not even listening like super duper hard, but this is hit just like off the, you know, first impression. Run it back. Bro, I played that one at least four or five times today. Like
that's hard.
Bro, stepping, like looking in the mirror.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And I hear the lyrics on it, bro. Like, and the message. We gonna make it out. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
We gonna make it out alive. Like, but that perseverance, that spirit comes through adversity. I'm already knowing.
Right. And for sure.
That's in the lyrics. It's in the lyrics. Sure. Like, nah, bro. I had to look myself in the mirror. Like,
man, nah.
I really messed with that one, bro.
Real talking, and that's one of my favorite records on there. Just because so stylistically, I think it's so different. It's like. It sound like a rap song, but then it'll sound like a Western or a country song. Like I was telling somebody, I was like, man, I could see like a Red Dead Redemption, like a lone cowboy that just, he out for vengeance. Like he might've lost it all and he just coming back to get everything. And, you know, that's kind of like the zone I was in when making that song, bro. It's just like, you know, some things happen in life where you hit these rough patches. And I feel like that's when the best music comes out. Is when you experience real life, bro, and that emotion is attached to it. So
you get thoughts you ain't never had, and words start sounding artistic. It's like, I wish this is just real life. I'm trying to describe it.
Right, right. And it's like, sometimes, bro, it's just these moments you can't even explain. Like a lot of the songs, like there's some songs on here that where I was writing them, I listened to it and just be like, man, I don't even know how I came up with that. And it's just like, I tell people this all the time, bro. Like, it's bigger than me. Like, it come from God. Like, I don't feel like I was blessed with this talent or this, you know, this ability for no reason. So that's my whole thing with the music as well. Like, whenever I'm putting out an album or putting out a project, I want to really leave the people with something. You know what I mean? I want them to take away something from the album. Like, whether it's, you know, again, learning from stuff that I went through or, you know, just simply, like, encourage you to keep your faith, like anything, like, but I do feel my purpose and ability I have is deeper than music. It's about encouraging the youth or encouraging whoever it connects with, just to let them know that, like, you got to keep going. You got to, regardless of field, it applies to anything. That a live song can, you know, you can place that anywhere and it's going to hit the same, because a lot of people can relate to that messaging of, man, I done been through some things, but it's not over. We're going to make it out alive at the end of the day. So, you know.
Yeah, man.
I really do rock with that song.
Every album of yours, project, whatever, it's tricky because, like, you look at whoever you want to look at, but a lot of dark stuff gets glorified. And you never went that direction.
Right.
At all with what's come out, like, at all. I'm sure that's by choice. And I know it's not because you had never tested and had a moment where you're like, fam, what's the deal for real? But no, man, that's a testament, bro. I love that part of it. And that's another inspo for me to implement some more of that into what I'm doing as well, man. I say sometimes to myself, I'm not vocal enough on here with my platform about a belief, you know? And that being a part of your work it speaks volumes. It speaks volumes for sure.
Yes, sir.
Nah, bro, that one is really, really a vibe. I get, like, there's almost, not EDM, but there's almost, like, electric, like, you know, or there's, like, some funky, like, element. It's, for one, it's one of them songs where you start talking right away. It's like the beat.
Right.
Come on, you're hearing vocals, and, you know, first 3 seconds. And
sets
you
just immediately.
And then it's not rushed. The whole beat kind of got the same cadence. And it's like, under control to where it's a constant, like, rhythm with it. and it's bouncy.
Yeah.
Nah, bro, that one's tough, dog. That one's hella tough,
thank
bro.
Thank you, bro. Like, I really do appreciate it, man, because that's one of my favorite ones, and I do think that one, it will be big. Like, we manifest on this show, so I will say Alive will be a big record.
Yes, sir. Hell yeah, it is, bro. Air horn. All of that.
Yes, sir.
That's about it on that, bro. I definitely want to hear we got to talk about this Kendrick and Drake a little more. I'm curious some of your thoughts on it all too, cuz bro, this is Kobe and LeBron, bro.
Like, right.
I don't know a football player that enters the conversation in terms of like the culture that is as pervasive as literally like LeBron, Drake, Kobe, Steph, Kendrick.
The parallels are just too crazy between Kobe and LeBron and Drake and Kendrick. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah, a long time of waiting, just being on the ride. It never knew what was coming next from either of them, honestly. And probably wouldn't have expected the beef to ever happen. Or like a beef to ever happen, definitely not on this level, bro. So for one, it's like a just like all of May was the beef, bro.
Right.
The whole month of May, the beef dominated everything.
Man, and at that point, I was almost waking up like every day, like okay, let me refresh, So I really feel like we probably won't see a moment like that again. A lot of people reference the Jay-Z and Nas, but that wasn't of this magnitude, bro. Like, and no disrespect, they both are legends in their own right. But Drake and Kendrick, bro, this is literally, here, like you said. This is if we get the Kobe LeBron finals in 2010. I really feel like, this is what this... It would have, this could have how it played out. But
in terms of like, it's high. This is the highest of, hope or expectation, anticipation that we could get for some. It's global. Like, this is international, digital, like immediately.
Everybody.
And I don't think
that's the.
I don't think some of those numbers that I don't think some of those numbers that not like us set. I don't think those are going to be touched by another song for a minute.
For a minute, bro. Right. And I mean, that just goes to show like how big this really was, because we've never seen this done to Drake. Like, of course, we saw the story of Adidon with Pusha T and all of that, but it wasn't at this level. Like, that was big. Don't get me wrong, but it didn't really like, I feel like that was a 4.7 earthquake, and then Kendrick came through with a 9 aftershock. Like, it was just incredible, bro. Like, on both sides, I don't want to make it seem like, Drake didn't do his thing in the beef either. Like, that Family Matters song is dope. It's just strategy. I say that he might have underestimated Kendrick. I think a lot of people underestimated him. I did, but that's just because I've seen Kendrick almost from start. Now, I mean, not start to finish, but like since the kind of the beginning of his career.
You know what he's really about.
And I just felt like it came down to like my whole thing before even the Kendrick response came out. I was like, man, the biggest separator when it comes to music between Drake and Kendrick, it's their tonality, bro. It's their tonality. I'm an artist, bro, so I'm listening to Drake and Kendrick. I know the differences. I love both of their music, but something about Kendrick's tone and delivery, it strikes a certain chord that I'm not going to say Drake can't do it, but we don't see it often enough to, even have something to measure it by. But Kendrick's ability to just shift between voices and cause a different impact, just with his voice alone, it was just like, I just knew that Kendrick would be able to take it a place that Drake couldn't, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, he has.
Yeah.
he has so much control over his delivery. Like, he can say something where when he performs it, or just whenever you hear it, like, if he says something real clear and precise that you feel like he really standing over your shoulder, like, hey, like, I'm really like in your ear telling you this. Like, you can feel that through the music. Euphoria is so crazy. Like the reciting it part too, where it's really a performance, dog. Like, and he called it, you know, he really called it all on that track. Just like, hey, look, man, warning shots, all of that. If you want to take it there, like, this is what I'm gonna leave you with. I just said a whole lot on here, but I can say something else if you really say something else. And Family Matters, bro, I think it's a shame that screw what's real, what's true, screw every, like, and now in retrospect, we know Drake got, he was down for the 10 count. Ref called it, the ref waved it, it's over. And
Kendrick
on the ropes, nigga, the crowd, the ring is, they flush the ring. Boxers get knocked out, it's all right, bro. You know?
Right.
This is staying on the record. But you know what I'm saying? Hey, not everybody ain't gonna jump in that ring, though. So at the end of the day, you got respect. That Family Matters, man, like, he'll probably never perform it now.
Yeah.
That's kind of how could you? But it would be one of the coldest. He could perform the middle. He could.
Yeah, the middle. Now that's what I'll say. That middle part. But that was my gripe. I'm like, the middle part, the hardest part. But he not.
It's not about him.
That dot. Yeah, like, he wasn't really going at dot. But like I said, you can't really take away from that song, bro. Like, if this was anybody else but Kendrick, I want to say, that would have been nail in the coffin, hanging it up, it's over.
And I think he expected it. Like, I think he genuinely didn't think he was going to have to. And he did, because he went in and made The Heart, which I thought had bars. Like I said, screw whatever's real and all this and that now, after the fact.
Right.
But you could tell, nah, man, he thought that that was going to do it.
Right.
And it just didn't. Like,
it didn't. It wasn't.
It
enough.
Didn't for Kendrick. Can't nobody else ASAP got a tape coming out. I'm looking forward to it. You know, I'm gonna give it one of them.
But
ain't nobody. We ain't trying to hear comebacks and all of that from y'all dragging it out. That Chargers game. Bino trying to throw. Oh, y'all, man, hang it up, bro. Not right now. Y'all heard what he did to bodies, man, on that song. Still,
and that's why I was kind of upset at the time. It's like, yo, this is between A and B. Everybody else need to see their way out of it. Like, when I love Rick Ross, but Rick Ross throwing his hat in the ring and just all these other people getting in the mix. I'm like, yo, we've been waiting on this since 2013. Y'all gotta, you feel me, clear out and just let them two duke it out, man. And, you know,
this ain't your
ultimately
moment.
Right. It wasn't their moment. And I know everybody wanted to be a part of it. I think, you know, we experienced it in real time. And it's like, in real time, you were able to tell, like, this is one of the biggest moments. And now I don't even want to just say hip hop history. I say music history, period. Yeah, you know, because it's like, we've never seen any type of battle like this on any level, in any art form, on, you know, in any genre of music. I mean, obviously, you know, you pretty much only have dissing and stuff like that in rap, but, you know, even Prince and Michael Jackson had a little smoke, you know, back in the day. So,
nah, for sure.
And even them, I don't think it was as big as this, you know, and that's saying a lot.
It was hella bold. It showed the power that hip hop has, the influence, this came to my mind earlier, and you don't gotta respond to this or nothing, but it's just super super tangent. But like, a lot of people got something to say about how it looks for Kamala to have had Megan and Quavo at the show talking about who knows what, and these artists performing and dancing. For one, y'all aren't a part of this culture. If you got something to say about this and something negative to say about this, how familiar are you with hip hop? Because we didn't say nothing when Kid Rock was introducing Trump We don't say nothing right. When Hulk Hogan got up there talking about they went after my hero.
Right, yeah, come on now. Come on now.
This is different. This is different. Right. I seen the crowd swag surfing. Like,
yeah,
it's like, yeah, you can't speak on it if you, this goes to why the cloth of Not Like Us hit so hard. It's because it's victory lap music, man. It's really like,
right,
look, if you don't get this, you can't, look, we not tripping. Like, stay over there.
Right.
100%. Like, it ain't nothing wrong with it. This speaks to, you know, our creativity, our endurance, our, you know.
Right.
So that, like I said, that was a super side note. But in all of this, man, it did a lot, Meryl. It did a lot. It's going down. Oh, this, they about to win awards and all of that.
Yeah, for sure.
Shout out to Kendrick, bro, man. Shout out to the dog, man, because T-Pab is my favorite album of his. And when it came out, I wasn't messing with it. And it took until I was about to leave Cali and go to Baylor to where I was like, all right, let me try and get on with this album before I'm really not out here. And what he did with this and putting the West on such a spotlight, like my best, like my dog, you've heard Shiva because he's my main host on here. He's a, me and him both, huge Drake fans. We talk about him all the time.
Right.
His songs and all of that, rapping lyrics. And I'm like, bro, I wish you felt how I feel all the way, because as much as I love Drake, bro, this feels hella good. Like, seeing the West out here like this and just our swag being different like that. Like, seeing people on stage that you recognize.
Yeah.
And like, hold on, man. This is really different. And this is a moment. And
it's been a long time coming, too, bro. I feel like the West, you know, ever since I mean, it could be made that the West ain't been on top since the Death Row days. Like, if you know, want to look at it from that aspect, I don't look at it like that, but, you know, maybe to the rest of the world. So to get that spotlight back on us, and this time it's no negativity, it's nothing, you know, no drama or anything surrounding it. It's like, man, that's almost perfect. And I feel like that, by Kendrick doing that, he pretty much just laid it out and opened the door for a lot of these new West Coast artists that's trying to make a name for themselves, including myself, you know. And that was another reason why I wanted to drop the album, because I just feel like the attention was on us, and it was like, man, I'm not gonna let this momentum go to waste, you know, especially me being somebody that, you know, never met him, but, you know, just feeling like I got a connection with bro just off of, you know, the certain walks, you know, certain ways he carries himself and certain things he talks about, like, I identify a lot with it. So it's just like, man, like, bro, this is it. I look at this as a new West Coast Renaissance. Like, this could be that moment where you look back, where you look back and be like, the West is, man.
Either get with it or you're going to miss out. Timing, God's timing, right. You know, like, it's timing is everything. You can't fake feeling like it's time to go. And on top of that, you battle tested. Same way I'll get on here and talk whatever with whoever, you know, whatever the conversation is, let's have it. I know you feel that way about the music, bro. And literally, we'll speak on it. Like, somebody, what y'all want to do?
Right.
Literally, what y'all want to do? You want to have a beat off? Yeah. You want to go? You want to freestyle? You want to put some song? Right. Like, I know you feel like that about yourself, bro. Yeah. And it's only a matter of time, literally. Like, and it, I don't think, bro, sooner than later, bro, on everything, man. This is happening, bro.
1,000%, bro. I feel like that, and it's just like, I knew I was in the place I needed to be when I knew I could comfortably stand on my music, on anything that I do musically, and be like, what's up? Like, whoever wanted,
on
like,
me.
You know, bring anybody. We could rap, we could sing, we could see who could write, like, whatever you want to do. Like, I don't know if you ever seen the movie Welcome Home, Roscoe Dinkins, but at the end, Cedric was like, man, we can race up and down the audience steps. Like, I'm with whatever, bro. Like, you know, that's how I feel about the music. Like, when it comes to anything music, when it comes to rapping, just creating a song, anything, like, I'm up for the challenge, bro. Like, 1,000%.
Yeah. Nah, man, that's about it on the music tip, man. I wanted you to just get on here, bro, and come out the shell a little bit. Let the people hear the evil genius
behind the music.
let's talk maybe a little bit of hoops and let's get on out of here, bro. But
for sure.
Yeah, man, Team USA did at the end of the day. It took down South Sudan. Final score was 103-84, I believe. Let me pull that back up. 103-86, 17-point margin of victory. That's after they came down to a game winner against this team in exhibition play. Shout out to South Sudan, bro. Shout out to South Sudan,
right,
man.
Right.
Because
shout out Luau.
Yes, sir. It's a nation that is in its infancy still. And some of the stuff I said with JB on his show this past weekend was that they represent that hunger as well.
Right.
Of they said on the broadcast today, there's not an indoor basketball court in their country.
I saw that. Yeah.
You know what
crazy.
I'm saying? Like, these dudes have made it just in terms of basketball infrastructure from, you know, as disadvantaged as it could be to the highest level, which is the NBA, and playing professionally in other leagues like the NBL in Australia, the Euro League, Turkish League. Like, they have reached the same platform that, like, the American stars are at. So they combine that with physical traits that no other country really possesses across the board. And by that, I mean the crazy length, the natural born athleticism. I don't think that there is an African nation that has had success or looked this competitive against Team USA ever.
Right.
I'm not sure if there is. This is probably the closest gap is.
I think you're spot on with that one. I think you're spot on with that one. There's no one that comes to mind when you say that. And even just watching them today, like, their guys, the way they're just so limber and their ability to move, that's what I was more impressed by. These are all like 6'9", 6'8", guys that are just moving, like, speed, athleticism. It was just like, man, you get these guys a few more Olympics, they might be competing in that, you know, for a medal soon.
And one of these guys was a 17-year-old on the national team. He's the top recruit at Duke next year. So,
yeah, I heard.
I want to say his name's like Malua. We'll all get real familiar with him in due time. That says literally so much, the fact that you went from not in the conversation at all 10 years ago to we're here and like we're not afraid. And it goes to show that that player, that archetype, essentially, specifically a player of African descent who is, you know, who has a motor, who is mad fit athletically, combined with oftentimes somewhere between 6'7" to 6'9", 6'10".
Right.
But through all of that, you know, has natural agility, some footwork, want to throw in some ball handling for some of the most high-end prospects. And that's where you get guys, bro, almost every Division I team or at a high level has players like that on their team. At my time at Baylor, we had Joluwau Achiuwill, who was a guy like that. Nuni Omot, who's a guy on this team, was at Baylor when I was there. When I was at UNLV, one of our centers, Chek Bakay. It's like, bro, they have intangibles, toughness that just are – you can't really replace it. Shout out to Joel and Tomboy, his brothers, Jonathan Kuminga.
Yeah.
Like, you see these guys all throughout the college game on, like, some of every roster. I remember 2019 Summer League was the first one I got to cover. And Mario Shayot was playing for the 76ers. I will show you the audio recorded in my phone. I got a one-on-one interview with him after one of his games because, bro was hooping.
Yeah,
like if you watch these games today, you'd be like, nope, I can spot a hooper when I see a hooper. And I was familiar with him because he played at Iowa State his last season, and that was, you know, Big 12. I was playing Baylor, so I'm like, you know, I know this guy, and look at him really getting buckets. This is somebody who's been knocking on the door of the league. I'm talking about I was impressed by him in Summer League in 2019. fact that he never became a household name in the league. I heard that he averaged, I think, 19 in Australia this past season. So it's like, bro, that's or no, 19 or 20 in the G League, but still, you averaging 20 somewhere in pros, you getting busy.
Right.
It's just a testament to these guys, man. It's like we've become subconsciously familiar with like how dangerous they are as pieces.
Yeah.
On every team, whether that was, you know, in Wayne and Gabriel was getting minutes for the Lakers, you know, Kentucky product. Right. To Mo Bamba's, like, just these guys are like, yo, these are pieces. Assembling a team of those guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Sooner than later, it's going to be real nasty.
Yeah, and that's what I said, man. Giving them a few more years, a few more Olympics under their belt, bro, they're going to be seriously competing. Because, again, like, the guys that have the – on their team, they have the build that is like the prototype for the NBA right now. That's 6'7" to 6'9", two that play, you know, 1-4 almost. Like, you know, that's the way the league is shifting, and you know, they're ahead of the game almost with that one. So,
and I forgot who it was as well, but they set the tone. USA jumped out to a 6-0 lead, timeout.
Right.
It was like a bang, bang, bang 6-2. Like, ooh,
yeah.
This looking 30-point-ish, like blowout-ish. Right. And they called a timeout. Things slowed down a little bit. They got a bucket. Somebody hit a three. And then somebody turned the corner driving against LeBron and got a step. Mm-hmm. And somebody whose name you were not familiar with flushed it. One of those where Bron stopped. Mm-hmm. He said, I'm not contesting that. Bro got me. Yeah, this is not going to end well for me. Business decision, Bron. And bro set the tone to be like, yeah, not so fast. Like, y'all not been doing that. The team kind of really settled in after that moment. And, you know, Team USA got comfortably at some point, but I think this is an insane Team USA. More thoughts on the game. Joel Embiid didn't play today.
At all, that could be
in response to some of the criticism he's gotten publicly, but that's also we're not gonna put miles on our guy. He's gonna be there when we need him. It speaks to the versatility of this team. Bam Adebayo took that extra opportunity, damn near didn't miss.
Right, I got to salute Bam too. He's been doing his thing this Olympics. I've been really impressed by Bam and AD for sure.
Definitely from the bigs and. It spoke to what this team could be. It was hard to predict because it's like, man, y'all can just go a lot of ways. Y'all can go small ball, aiding them at the power forward, you know, run Halliburton, Steph, Booker, and just, you know, really get up and down like that.
Yeah.
Y'all can play with the Giants, Bron, KD, Anthony Davis, you know, Embiid. another stretch somewhere in there. Right. Like, where it's really, y'all going to feel this team physically. And shout out to Kerr. I think Kerr was, you know, by not playing Embiid today, not playing Tatum and Halliburton in the first game, to starting Tatum today, making sure Halliburton got some rotation minutes. I think it was sort of to send the message that, look, none of y'all, you're all great. Outside of, you know, our captains and most experienced players, just so that way y'all know and y'all can be comfortable with, it don't matter about you. This ain't about any one of us, for real, for real. And, it's a question. It's to keep the wild card in your pocket against some of the international competition that's also going to be ready for them.
Right. And to go back to South Sudan, I feel like that has to be a huge, like, confidence booster, knowing, okay, we're actually competing with who's looked at as the team that's ahead of the field. You know, it's Team USA and then the rest of the field. So if we can actually compete with these guys, I feel like they got to feel like, okay, playing against any other team, like, we could have a real legit chance. You know what I mean?
And because they were playing. You know, it wasn't 50%, 70%, any of that.
Right.
You saw KD just like in the third quarter timeout, like, scream. How many times you done seen Kevin Durant swing his arms and like, you know, get busy when it's not either the fourth, last 2 minutes playoffs, we've seen them get championship daggers and stand there.
Pull up threes,
no emotion. And
he's
literally like, you know, just outward expression about doing that. So that goes to say that, goes to show that y'all earn their respect as peers and as competitors. And They're gonna win some games. France should have lost to Japan yesterday.
I think it was a
questionable ejection on Hachimura. You know, I'm with the sports betting. What's even more funny is that his prop total was 24 and a half. Tell me why he had 24 with like 6 minutes left. It got him out of
there. That's crazy.
And if you see the replay, and there's so many different things about the international style.
Mm-hmm.
So conditioned to the NBA style. But they show in one of the replays I had to see on social media, bro didn't touch him on the three-pointer that they caught the foul on in the last 5 seconds. Four-point play.
That was bad.
He didn't really touch him. But the international style, the game moves different. The commentary is different. The officiating is different.
It's different,
And coming off a ref in these games, I really like it because it's like, you know what, bro? No, I'm not whistling that. It might have been something, but play basketball. Keep playing. Stop playing because you didn't hear the whistle? Like, since when did this become, you know what I'm saying, a computer game, like a video game? No.
Right. And it's like, for me, like watching the FIBA basketball, I've been like so used to the NBA, I'm waiting for the challenge. Like, I'm waiting for them to start challenging some of these calls. And I'm like, oh man, that's only an NBA thing. But that just goes to show you how different the game is. It's like, I'm, you know, a lot of the players are arguing with the refs, but it's mainly, you know, Team USA. And I just think it's funny, but I think it's great though to see everybody so locked in. You know, especially Bron at this stage. This being Curry's first Olympics is crazy, but you know.
It's dope. That won't be overlooked either. He's going to go crazy one of these games. He's going to have a moment.
Yeah, for sure. I'm waiting on it. I'm waiting on the 8, 9, 10 three-pointer game from Steph or something. Like, we do for one.
This was almost like the man, you the big man on campus. You already done kind of had your moment, but like, everybody forced you to come to the function. Like, no, dog, you were coming to the club tonight. Or like, no, you were coming to this party. We finna kidnap you. Because it's like he perfected this style that the world has tried to play catch up to and is damn good at it now. Like, you look at the guards on Japan, somebody that was under 6 feet, bro hit like six threes, step back. And we can easily go back in time. The world wasn't playing the way they were now prior to Steph and Curry. Like, so this was just like, yo, come show face, you know what I mean, Steph? Like, get out here. It's out of respect what a lot of these folks is doing. Segueing that into sort of the regular season, we ain't gonna talk too much Lakers, but how do you feel like this will play out, this experience overall, for these guys going back to the season? Because there's a couple ways to look at it. Like, you know, from an Anthony Davis or Joel Embiid perspective, it's, you know, the knock on y'all is you got to play yourself into shape or you're not 100% as much when we need you to be. You can look at it as extra mileage. You can look at this as staying in game shape over the season to where you might get a running start next season. And instead of us being 20 and 20 by Christmas or, you know, January, we first place because you came in on some game busters.
31 and 9,
Yeah, you didn't miss a beat, you know, because you were locked in. To, you know, guys like Ant, guys like SGA, open it up to internationally as well, guys like SGA. You already saw it this past season, but this is going to do a lot for a lot of boys' confidence coming in next season as well. Like,
for sure.
Ant and Halliburton and some of the younger dudes are definitely going to bring this back to their squad and just think of themselves differently with this with a gold medal to their name.
I'm most excited to see where Anthony Edwards goes after this. He's already a superstar in the league, but I just think him being under that tutelage of, you know, his favorite player is KD, so he's getting to work out and practice with KD every day, you know, seeing how Bron and Curry, how they move and carry themselves. So, you know, he's what, 22, 23. So if he's able to pick up on that leadership that they are carrying now and take that back to the young Timberwolves team and be that leader they need. I mean, what, they were just in the Western Conference Finals, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
Oh, semis. Yeah. So they was just in the semifinals. So
barely.
I mean, Yeah, that could easily turn into a finals run.
I might be wrong as well. Am I wrong? Was it Mavs Wolves in the conference finals, or that was the second round?
I want to say it was the finals. I can't recall, but if I'm not mistaken, I want to say it was the finals. I think.
I believe so. But, it was because second round was OKC in Dallas. Yep, sure was. Yeah,
yeah,
no, bro.
So
it's scary for the league because he's getting what a lot of folks didn't. When Bron at 22, 21, 20 whatever, went to Team USA, it was, it was the Young Bucks, and it didn't pan out. It didn't pan out well. KD sort of went at an early stage in his career, even though he was already he was in the finals by year four.
Mm-hmm.
So
right,
really only Ant and Tatum are at that level where they're, the greatest players of their era are going to treat them as peers while they're still relatively young, and have their respect as peers. They're gonna go back.
Right.
Hell no, I might have been hating on his Ant a little bit last season just because everybody, he was getting a whole lot of hoopla.
Right, right.
I ain't got nothing to say now. Bro's really I done went toe to toe with him behind closed doors. No cameras, no TV. Nah, bro gets it's gonna be a different sort of he gets from the league, from his peers,
right,
and bring it to his team for sure, leadership wise.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I'm excited to see that because, I mean, it's the changing of the new guard, man. It's, Bron is getting up there. He's still performing at an extremely high level. So I don't even know at this point.
It's wild.
I don't even know. But as the years do pass, it's like Curry's in his, mid to late 30s. All of these guys that were just coming up when we were, 13, 14, 15, these guys are now pushing 40, and we're seeing that next generation of the Ant Edwards, the Shays, the Wimbys, to expand the game outside of USA. But, man, it's just I like the direction the NBA is going in and introducing all of this new talent and seeing all of these new young guys come up and it's like up for grabs who's going to be that next face of the league after, all the old big dogs are retired, So I'm excited for sure. I think next season is going to be great.
No, it really should
be. Yeah, I'm excited.
It really should be. Probably the last thing, man, but Tatum, this was a convo me and Shiv had. I believe, yeah, we did on the post-finals pod where we said it may sound crazy right now, but in everybody's mind, KD is top 15, you know what I'm saying? At least all time,
right?
If it wasn't for a couple, lost seasons to injury, he would finish in the
probably
top
10
five of scoring at least.
Yeah.
And he'll probably get to 7, 8, 9 or something still.
Right.
Tatum could possibly take that spot by the end of his career. Essentially, KD is the second best wing, second best small four, power four, maybe put LeBron right ahead of him, just in terms of career.
Right.
As a player, we know that KD is as different and gifted as they come all time. But Tatum could legitimately be on. What do you think to that statement of, he's got one before almost all of these dudes got their first one. And this looks like a not one, not two.
Yeah, they can run off three, a few of them.
Like a lot of these boys are under contract. Jaylen Brown is also a top five wing in the league. And I don't know if there's been a as tough, wing duo since Mike and Scotty. So if that's what we're talking about, what's the ceiling for these boys right now?
Man, and this is coming from a Laker fan, so it's
on everything.
It's hurting me to say this, but Boston got something they got something right now. And like you were saying, bro, this doesn't look like it's going to be a one-time thing. They were already in two finals in the past, 4 years? I want to say.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's saying something. And I think the first one, they was probably maybe 24, 25 at the time. So it's like you put all of that into consideration. And it's like, man, the team is, it's the same team, same coach. They got the formula, man. I feel like Jason Tatum, I mean, I look at him as the main guy on that squad. I'm not sure how everybody else does, but I really feel like when it's all said and done, he's going to have an argument because you got to figure, barring any energy injuries or anything, he's probably going to give you a good 15 to 17, maybe even more years. And in that span, I could see him getting, you know, three, four, maybe, you know.
And his playoff resume is going to go stupid because conference final, it was a quote he said after they took care of Cleveland. He was like, I mean, you know, I've made it to the second. It's my Tatum voice. He's like, you know, I've made it to the second. I've never lost in the second round of my career. Or I've never not made it to the second round or further in my career.
Right,
and it's like, all right, bro, you humbly flexing right now.
right.
Talking about, I mean, I don't know what losing in the first round is like. At least, it's scary now that they got the confidence of an NBA of a banner behind them as well. Right. I think LA got to cook something up this year. What you think of JJ?
Man,
you gonna give him 3 months? What you thinking? To do something?
I mean. So I'm not expecting – I feel like I'm a realist, bro. With the roster we have right now, I'm not expecting us to win no ring. I feel like right now we looking at the same place we've been probably the past few years, probably in that same 7-9 seed spot, bro. We play in merchants right now. But – I'm not gonna slam the door all the way on JJ after the first season. I know, yeah, but it's like in LA, bro, you don't got too much of a leash, like, and that's just the way we conduct business out here. Like, that's how it's been, like, since Phil. I mean, if you really look at the Lakers history, they find that one coach and stick with him, and then after that, they just switching it up until they find somebody. So, you know, I think JJ knows a lot about the game. He's played in the NBA. I'm not sure he was a 16-year veteran or something like that.
Yeah, four so or I five, know he knows something like what, that.
You feel me? I know he knows the game, but I just want to see the respect the players have for him. He hasn't been out of the league that long to where people are looking at him like, oh, yeah, this my OG. Or, you feel me? Because I don't know. I really can't call it with him. I'm excited to see what happens, but I don't have too high expectations and I don't have too low expectations. I'm just in the middle. I'm alone for the ride at this point. I think to sum it up, that's what I'll say. I'm alone for the ride right now.
You'll take him over D Ham?
A ham sandwich? Yeah, I'll take him over ham sandwich, man. and although I do feel like
they did him a little wrong.
Rap.
He
yeah,
did.
He got a
they
little,
did, bro.
You
they
feel
did.
Me? He won. Hey, he won. What? He won an in-season. He won an in-season tournament championship.
Hey, I talked about it a couple episodes back for show that he kind of felt like, you know, he took the blame. Or they put the blame on him. It is what it is. But mm-hmm. he wasn't great, but it's a challenge. He was a player's coach.
Yeah, for sure.
For a bit more, I need my coach to get a tech every now and then.
He was a little too, and then like the players just didn't respect him, bro. Like it was so many clips I would see on Twitter. It's just like, yeah, they don't respect bro at all, man. Like, so yeah, I mean, I knew he was gone, but
he was a co-pilot. That was,
yeah, but I mean,
we got one for sure, man. Because it don't make sense. Last season, it felt like it went down the drain. A healthy Bron and AD year, relatively.
Man,
so
man.
If we can replicate that, man. I've been the leader of the AD bandwagon. I love Anthony Davis. You know,
in terms
of giving him his respect, and there not being another big like him in the league, two ways.
Right.
Independently.
Him not having a decoy is still crazy to me.
Nuts.
It's still crazy to me.
He deserved it this year. Who is the Lakers' second best defender? Who is their second best defender this year?
You can't even name it. I mean, you can't name it.
And he literally held the team together on the boards and as our back line, whereas, you know, Minnesota got seven good defenders. And who got it? Bam Adebayo maybe got it. I forgot. I think Rudy did get – or Wembanyama, I would give Rudy it to got him before.
Yeah, but Rudy again. I mean
– He deserved it, bro. Yeah, that was crazy. Yeah. But it's all good. I want him to have that chip on his shoulder still. Go get another chip, AD. You showing Team USA what's good right now. So.
Right, for sure.
Bring that energy back to the land.
I got a question, bro. Do you think they are going to ship D'Lo? You think he's out of here?
Yeah, they trying to. I think the market isn't dumb hot. And I applaud the front office for having a little bit of patience. Coming into the offseason, I'm like, all right, do what y'all do, but try to keep the roster like mostly intact. Don't go trade 6-7 dudes.
We don't need a reconstruction every year, bro.
To then try and go just give better minimums for the rest of the roster because you're going to have no continuity. Right. You're not going to understand each other. They're not going to be bought in. They're not going to be a team until February. And then it's too late. Y'all playing catch up.
Yeah. That's been my biggest gripe with the Lakers is that every year we got an entirely new roster outside of AD, LeBron, and Reeves. Since that championship we won in 2020, we've had a new roster every year, bro. So, that's why I can't really fault the Lakers. Just like, bro, we don't have no continuity. A lot of the teams that's been winning in recent, his memory, they've had those groups for 3-4 years. You know what I mean? So, I just think continuity is key.
Keeping that same energy that y'all had in the locker room, losing to Denver 2 years in a row, coming in year three, where it's like, nah, bruh, nah, not this year.
Right.
Like, it ain't going to, but just with the right extra piece or two. So, and they've been reluctant to just, sell the draft picks. So, if they are holding out for the right package, I think Hachimura just showed them that they don't need to flip D'Lo and some first to go get Jeremy Grant. Like Rui was up and down last year, but then again, brand new teammates. So like we kind of just playing like you got it ball for half the season. Like, I don't know. I think you're kind of nice. Go ahead. Like, I see glimpses of it, but we don't know how to just tap into it and the toughest point. So a year of sticking together.
Right.
They didn't really get a chance to combine all of the length that they got out there. They didn't really get a chance to play AD. Vando, LeBron, Rui, Jackson Hayes, like all together, like in a rotation for their front court. So year two, spinning the block will be cool. D'Lo, man, he showed what he could do, man. I think he likes being a Laker. The fact that he played with Kobe, playing in purple and gold, he's never going to take that lightly.
Like,
he's going to say, you don't know what 2-4 would have said.
He's one of them last ones that can, he experienced it. I mean, he didn't experience at its height, but you play with the Mamba, you know what I mean? So, but I really feel like if they can do that deal with, I did hear Portland was shopping around Simons though.
Yeah, I'm glad we're talking about this too because I was going to forget to say it. Who I think that they should. Rumor has it, you can get this man for arguably as low as the minimum right now.
Mm-hmm.
Rob Pelinka, give Markelle Fultz a phone call.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Give bro a phone call. Like,
for sure,
I think his stock went so crazy because of the whole Philly, who knows what happened,
the debacle,
injury, body, and all of that. I've watched Markelle Fultz this last 2 years resemble the player that they built up as a prospect to where he was like an unquestionable number one over Jason Tatum, He was so cold as just a fluid, explosive scorer coming out of UW, and that area is producing so many pros right now too.
Right.
That's not lost. He got thrown into something that threw him for a personal roller coaster. I had to get my body right. I had to get my mental right. I'm on some don't talk to me. You know, this ain't what I expected. That was real life adversity that he had to try and maneuver. I'm a first round pick. I'm getting traded. I know I can. This is, y'all don't understand what's going on. None of us really know what's going on, but why he lost his ability to play the way he did. It slowly but surely has come back. Just sort of the respect and like the mutual respect for his game, like amongst basketball. But you know when you respect somebody's game that you want to court with, and when you kind of don't, you one step to close out, or y'all don't act like, you know, nah, we good. Like, he was getting we good energy for like a year or two.
Yeah.
It's still kind of proving that it's not like that. He's not a volume shooter like that anymore. I think his ceiling is still very high. All that to say, I think that a very high-end player is still there. You don't got to go be an all-star for us now. We just need another. We needed it last year. We need an athletic creator at the point. Right. You could play defense.
I was about to say he can play defense. Get their own. That's what we need. Yeah.
And he's got the tools physically. Like he's young still. Definitely. And bro is bouncy. He is bouncy. Bouncy, bouncy. Got some shoulders to him. Got some, you know. So the price that they could get him right now, same way Jackson Hayes was a lottery pick and they got him for almost nothing last summer.
Right.
He needs to be on the team somewhere next year.
Yeah, I agree. He just needs the opportunity, man. He goes somewhere that will allow him to play. And I don't even want to say play his game, but just give him the opportunity to be him on the court. Like, I feel like he'll definitely be able to thrive for sure.
But at the end of the day, yeah, man, we got Brown, we got AD, and if we make it there, if y'all don't have Jokic, ain't nobody in the West other than that beat them in the playoffs. Phoenix snuck them 1 year, but they wasn't healthy in the first round. That little first round. So other than that,
we might have had a repeat if AD don't get hurt that series. I really felt.
Oh man, that was a good. They was ready. Remember, no, that was Andre Drummond doing the shadow shimmy on the baseline game one and two. They was disrespecting that. It was playing with that team. Before he got hurt.
It was looking like it was over for the Suns, man. That's all I'll say. I don't know if he was up 2-1 or if it was 1-1, but whenever AD got hurt, that just shifted the whole momentum. And it's like we've been clawing to get back to that, you know, into that groove we was in. But I gotta attribute it to the continuity, bro. Like a lot of people, we'd had a lot of people done at purple and gold over these past, you know, 3-4 years. And,
a lot.
You know, the one that got away always for me is going to be Malik Monk, man. I wish we still had him on the roster somehow, but, you know, it is what it is.
Nah, man, we could really keep going, man. I heard a lot of rumors. They were saying Lonzo might be looking at Lonzo again.
And when you mentioned, you know, him getting picked over Tatum, I was like, man. Even Zoe Ball, you know, Zoe Ball. But I think Zoe gonna come back and do smooth. I'm rooting for him. I miss him being out there on the court. Even Melo, it's like both of them kind of been dealing with injuries, and you know, they from the West, bro. I love to see, you know, players from the West Coast.
Melo get a whole lot of for sure. Melo get a whole lot of undue slander, lest we forget. All-star year two.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Let
him get some cohesiveness around him.
Right.
Or just let him get up out of there. He already done locked in the max, but you know what I'm saying? Like, let him fall in the right environment. Melo's different. Melo's different too.
Yeah, he is. And that'd be the thing about the contracts. I get it. I want, like, people going to get that money when they can get that money, but I want to see him on a different team, bro. Charlotte is not the right market for Melo. He need to be somewhere under the bright light because his game. I mean, his game is tailor made for it. So
on everything.
Yeah.
Nah, man, this is what it do, bro. This is money, man. This is money. I'm gonna need something fresh when I get around to season three on the ins.
Oh yeah,
outs.
For sure. I got you, man. We working. That's all I'm gonna say. We working. We stay working. Matter of fact, hold on.
See it. Nah, man. Like, follow, and subscribe. We appreciate you for listening. Tap in with my dog, man. Hit him on socials. Go stream, purchase, download, pirate, whatever you doing with the music, man. Go get that Big J's world. You need to hear it, bro, because this is about the exposure more than anything. This is going to be a stepping stone more than anything. Right. So go hear that. Go listen to that good music, man. I'm tearing
tell
up.
A friend to tell a friend about Big J's. So that's what we're going to say. Tell a friend and tell them to tell their friend about Big J's.
Oh yeah, I'm happy to be a part of it, bro. That's it, man.
I'm gonna
with you real soon.
Yes, sir. Let's get it. Salute. Appreciate you for having me on, bro.
Of course, man. This ain't nothing, bro. Natural. Just doing my due diligence. Happy to get you before the masses, man.
Oh man, we're gonna run it back soon too.
On everything. Till next time.